Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now we will meet the new congressman from the Lower Hudson Valley. Sean Patrick Maloney is a Democrat who beat a Tea Party Republican. Remember Nan Hayworth? He is the first openly gay congressman from New York State, and we'll take it from there in conversation. Congressman Maloney, congratulations on your victory, and welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you. Good morning.
And this is a district in the northern suburbs and exurbs of New York City. For people who don't know the lines we're talking about, kind of from the Jersey line to the Connecticut line north of the city, so from around Port Jervis to Poughkeepsie to Pauling, just north of Armonk is as close as it gets to the city. Do I have it about right?
Yeah, that's about right. It's the northeastern corner of Westchester, so Pound Ridge, Bedford, and Somers, that part, and then all of Putnam and Orange counties, and then the southwestern part of Dutchess from Beacon up to Poughkeepsie.
And that's a pretty diverse district, from the very affluent in Bedford to conservative gun owners and pickup truck owners in Greenwood Lake to some depressed former Borscht Belt areas in the Catskills. It's not necessarily the area where I might have guessed New York State's first gay congressman would come from. How did you campaign in that district?
Well, look, it's a district that looks a lot like America, and you've got people who make a living farming the land. You've got people who ride the train to New York City every day. You've got people living in small cities like Poughkeepsie and Newburgh who have some of the problems that those cities are facing. You run in a district like that by listening to people, particularly working and middle-class people who feel like the government's broken. It's not listening or working for them. They're right. It's not. And who were sick of this Tea Party stuff and wanted to turn the page and do something better.
And where in the district do you live?
I live in Cold Spring, which is along the Hudson River in Putnam County.
Why do you think you beat Tea Party Congresswoman Nan Hayworth, who had come on this show many times during her term?
Well, look, I think that, you know, what people want is they want us to work together and listen to one another. And I think people are sick and tired of this ideological my way or the highway stuff. They are sick of this rigidity that says one side or the other has all the answers. You know, I worked for Bill Clinton for years on the White House senior staff. I think people think the Clinton administration balanced the budget in the right way, grew the economy. And if given a choice between, you know, the extreme elements of the Tea Party, the Paul Ryan budget, trying to end Medicare as we know it, trying to defund Planned Parenthood, given a choice between all that nonsense and taking a common sense balanced approach that says we got to support the middle class, we've got to invest in education and infrastructure and science, we need to grow this economy, we need to balance the budget the right way, and we need to do what works, and we need to listen to one another and work like adults instead of fighting like children. I think if you give people that choice, you're going to win every time.
And we can take a few phone calls for newly minted Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, 212-433-WNYC. If you're in the district, 212-433-9692. Or if you're not, 212-433-9692. And so people know your background. You were an advisor to President Clinton in his last year or so in office, and Governor Patterson and Governor Spitzer. And you were last on the show in 2006 when you ran for New York State Attorney General but lost the primary to Andrew Cuomo. What else do you want people to know about you?
Well, I think people should know that I ran a business for 3 years in New York, that I've met a payroll, created hundreds of jobs, that I know how hard it is, particularly in a difficult environment. And that's where my focus is, on growing this economy, that I want to work with Democrats and Republicans alike. I want them to know that I'm on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee for a reason, so that I can, you know, be part of putting billions of new dollars, public and private money, into infrastructure, projects like the Tappan Zee Bridge that we've been talking about for too long and we need to just get working on. I want them to know that I'm on the Agriculture Committee so that I can work on things like the CFTC and the derivatives market that's critical to the financial services-based economy downstate, but also is critical in my district. I can work on programs like the Crop Loss Insurance Program and the Farm Bill that are critical to folks in Orange County because we've got a big agricultural community there. You know, I want people to know that I'm focused on solving problems, and I want I want my service in Congress to be defined by I want people to know me as somebody who's listening and who's working on solving problems and who is just focused on putting points on the board and then we measure those points by how many people we help with how many specific problems. I'm a pragmatic guy, and I want to get problems solved.
I see you've been appointed to the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. Are those big interests of yours?
They absolutely are. When I was in state government, I was part of creating the Public-Private Partnership Commission. I think we have to do better in terms of how we invest in infrastructure. We need to have new project delivery methods. We need to find billions of new dollars because we have huge projects that need to get done, and they are critical to growing the economy, to laying the foundation for future economic progress. We'll create a lot of jobs in the short term, too. That's great, but my real focus is on building the foundation for the next generation of American growth. And we've got a lot to do, and we need to do it.
Let's take a call. Here's Michael in Chester, New York. Hi, Michael. You're on the air.
Hi, Brian. Thank you, and congratulations, Congressman.
Thank you, Michael.
I actually live here due north of the top of Greenwood Lake, so mm-hmm. the extreme southeast of the county. I'm delighted to know that we now have a representative that reflects the science and the reality on the ground as far as the environment, and to know that you've called for the closing of Indian Point and also a ban on fracking. Regarding that, I'm curious to know, and this is not a rhetorical question, what do you think you might be able to do as a congressman to help block fracking here in the state, and whether there's anything citizens and even activists like myself can do to try and help perhaps at the congressional level to bring pressure to bear on the state government on that issue?
Thank you very much. And do you accept the premise of his question, Congressman? Are you out to block fracking in the state?
Look, I think we don't know enough about fracking to say that it's safe. I'm absolutely against it in the Hudson Valley. I do support transitioning away from Indian Point as quickly as possible in a responsible way. There are ways to replace the power, and there's ways to grow jobs in the local economy as we do it. I think that it is a fact that natural gas is going to be a very important part of the American economy, even if we don't do fracking in New York, and we have to be cognizant of that. I am very interested in supporting renewable sources from wind and solar, geothermal. I'm very interested in a project in Orange County called Taylor Biomass, which will create 300 jobs tomorrow, good wage jobs outside Newburgh, that is a waste-to-energy project. I think we should get going on that. And I think I'm glad that we're renewing things like the production tax credit for wind. We've got to keep investing in the next mm-hmm. generation of green energy. You know, we still give big subsidies to the oil and gas industries, even though they're very profitable. It seems to me we have to invest in the future as well. So I'm very serious about this. I think we need to be smart about it, and we've got to make sure we grow the economy, capture the jobs associated with it along the way, and keep energy costs low. But there's a way to do it, but we've got to stay at it.
So on fracking, does that mean no in the Hudson Valley, but you're agnostic as far as Western New York?
Look, I think that I'm against it until we know that it's safe anywhere. And I think that it's outrageous that we've exempted the companies from disclosure of the compounds under the Clean Water Act. I think that's just inexcusable. So I think we've got to repeal the Halliburton exemption to the Clean Water Act. I think that we should follow the science. I think we should do what works and what's safe. I don't have an ideological position on this. I have a fact-based, evidence-based approach to this. But I think that common sense would tell you that it has no place around the New York City watershed. It has no place in the Hudson Valley. Thankfully, the shale quality is inferior in that part of the state anyway. And I'm curious to see what the governor comes up with on this, and I don't want to get ahead of him.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see localities have a say in it, and that's appropriate. But we shouldn't let localities just run roughshod over the safety of their citizens.
Well, guess what? Now that you've spoken out against Indian Point, we immediately got a call from Bill in Old Bridge, New Jersey, who works at Indian Point. Is that right, Bill?
That's right, Brian. Brian, I'm a big fan of your show. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
And I know there's other questions about nuclear power. It's just that one of the biggest problems is the cost of actually building a plant. That's why hardly any new plants have been built since, I think, the 70s. And you already have an existing structure that's been so carefully regulated in all these years. I know I worked there. When I worked there, I'm a welder. I mean, you have to count every wire that you use and come out with the wires. I mean, you take 2 weeks' worth of classes just to get in. I mean, working at a nuclear power plant is different than any other power plant I work at. are very regulated, and I understand that there's you already have an existing plant that, as far as they can tell, there's nothing wrong with it. I just hate the idea of throwing away a billion-dollar project there and just letting it go to waste.
By the way, Bill, you've got a heck of a commute from Old Bridge to Indian Point, don't you?
Well, I don't always work there. We work all over New York at any power plant. I'm a boilermaker, so we work at our jurisdiction is all of New York, all of Long Island, and up to about Newburgh.
Bill, thank you very much for your call. And Congressman, there's a guy who actually does welding at Indian Point, talks about all the regulation that there is to keep a place like that safe, and why throw it away?
Yeah, well, no one's talking about throwing it away, number one, and that would be stupid. We shouldn't do it. And I appreciate guys like Bill, and one of my primary concerns is that we get very serious about growing the economy of Peekskill and Buchanan in the process of transitioning away from Indian Point. And if you look at models where they've decommissioned plants, you can grow jobs in the short term. What I'm talking about is a process over 7 to 10 years of transitioning to a new facility. You're not throwing anything away because the facility and the grid associated with it there are going to remain critically important to the energy infrastructure of the region, and you're going to have a huge number of people working there. So nobody's throwing anything away. And please bear in mind, Bill and others, that even the biggest proponents of Indian Point will tell you that 20 years from now it will not be there. You cannot keep running that facility indefinitely. It's very old. It's becoming just unusable after about 20 more years. And so the whole argument we're having here is about whether it goes away in 10 years or 20. The real point is would you ever put a nuclear power station there today? The answer is no. The real question is there an evacuation plan that's real? The answer is there's not. And if your kids go to bed like mine do in the Hudson Valley, I'm not comfortable with that. And I think it's irresponsible to just keep going indefinitely, particularly when it's going away no matter what. So the real challenge for people like me in a position of authority is to say, look, how do we replace that 2,000 megawatts? How do we do it responsibly? How do we keep jobs in that area? How do we keep energy costs low? And how do we hopefully capture some jobs in the production of energy, like the Taylor Biomass Project I just referred to a moment ago, so that we can benefit from moving towards a safer, greener, low-cost energy solution in the Hudson Valley? That's what I'm focused on.
My guest on WNYC for just another few minutes is the brand new congressman from the Lower Hudson Valley, Democrat Sean Patrick Maloney, who beat Tea Party incumbent Nan Hayworth in November. And let's get one more call in here on the issue of the day in Washington, and it comes from William in Hastings-on-Hudson. Hi, William.
Good morning, Brian. I was interested in asking the congressman. I fear that this new push, and I don't want to make this a call on immigration, I really am fearful that a new kind of worker program, unlimited program to make things worse for the workers, is going to come along with this legalization program, and more higher legal immigration, which is affecting a lot of the people who live around here who are legal immigrants have to leave the country because there's no jobs. So I just want to find out what is your view on this.
Congressman, immigration reform front and center.
Yes, it is. And I'm encouraged that we're seeing a bipartisan approach to this. I'm very happy that we've seen Republicans like John McCain, like our own Chris Gibson locally, like Lindsey Graham, say, you know, they've read the mood of the country, they've looked at the reality of having and the problems and the dangers associated with having millions of people in the shadows, and they're coming up with some common sense solutions. I think it's very important that we make border security a critical part of that. I think particularly Democrats need to be very serious about that. I think to the caller's question, I think it's very important that we've got more responsibility on the part of employers to be verifying the citizenship of their workers, and there's some good ideas on that. And I think we can have some common sense solutions here. But I support comprehensive reform, but I want to do it in a bipartisan way. And I spent a good deal of this campaign talking about the fact that the American government has forgotten about the middle class, it's forgotten about working people, and we've got to focus like a laser beam on helping Americans who are playing by the rules, paying their taxes, working hard, doing right by their kids, and I'm not going to do anything in Washington that doesn't pass that test. So I'm very concerned that we not do anything that takes jobs away from Americans.
What's the immigrant population of that district at this point? And again, for listeners just joining us, we're talking with Congressman Maloney, who's just elected from the 18th Congressional District, which is north of the city, sort of from Armonk in the southeast through Port Jervis in the northwest, up around through Poughkeepsie and then to the Connecticut border. In that lower Hudson Valley district, do you know the percentage of, let's say, foreign-born or children of foreign-born in the district?
You know, I'm not going to know that statistic, but what I can tell you is that it looks a lot like America. You're going to have about 25% people of color. About half of that are going to be Latino. I don't know what those are going to be. Those are going to be, you know, legal, documented, or citizen. You know, I don't know what the population of undocumented workers would be, or of immigrants. But I think that
right. And I only ask because I think some people still have the stereotype of the dense, diverse city and then the white suburbs and exurbs. And I think it doesn't look so much like that anymore.
Well, no, look, I mean, there are definitely the smaller cities of Poughkeepsie and Newburgh and Middletown that are going to have more diverse populations. But this is not a Hudson Valley problem, and we're not going to need a Hudson Valley solution as much as we need to do this as a country, and we need to do it in ways that make sense. And I think Democrats need to stop objecting to securing the border. I think that's a common sense measure we need to take seriously. I think that we've got to do a better job of using employers to enforce citizenship. But we need some common sense solutions, and we need to do it together. And there's no way you can go on the path we're on, which is to have, you know, 10 or 11 million undocumented people here. And we need to break those folks into categories because, you know, there are going to be folks that have a criminal background in that group, and they should be deported immediately. But there's going to be people in that group who were brought here through no fault of their own, who've been, you know, who were little kids when they came, who've been working hard, being educated, who are paying taxes, who are in some cases are in the military. We want to think about those folks in a very different way. So we can't just lump everybody together and say we're going to do this or that. So that's why I support a comprehensive program. It has to include border security, criminal background checks, things like workforce identity verification. These are all important parts of it, but I want to see us make some progress on immigration reform this year while we've got a chance to do it. I think it's very important for American competitiveness and for growing the economy.
All right. Last question. I read that you live here with your partner and you have three kids and living in Washington now. We always hear these stories about new members of Congress living like five to a room in a frat-style row house near Capitol Hill. Do you sleep on a real bed? Do you eat real food living in D.C. now?
If you compare it to the way I lived during the campaign, it's been an improvement. I can tell you that. But I'm not one of these sleep on the floor in my office kind of guys. What I want to do, but I am sleeping in a friend's basement apartment, and it's pretty modest. Because look, the job for me is not in Washington. I mean, that's where I got to vote, and that's where I have to do some things. But for me, the job is in Hopewell Junction, where people need clean water, and they've been waiting far too long at that Superfund site. Right. I mean, the job is out in Middletown, where they're opening an osteopathic medical school in Middletown and trying to help grow the health care centered economy in Central Orange County, supporting entities like Crystal Run that are doing innovative things that are going to bring the cost of health care down by improving outcomes. The job is in Westchester, where people are still waiting for help from Hurricane Sandy relief, and we've got to get that done. So my job is to be in the community, listening to people, solving problems. Right. And so I don't want to have some house in Washington. I want to be in Washington as little as possible. For me, the job is here.
Sean Patrick Maloney, newly minted Democratic congressman from the lower Hudson Valley. Again, congratulations on your election, and we look forward to speaking to you many times.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.